Welcome to Gettin' Legal With It, a podcast for Colorado young lawyers by Colorado young lawyers. I'm your host, Kevin Chaney. For those listening to us for the first time, I'm a personal injury and criminal defense lawyer here in Colorado. I graduated from the University of Colorado Law School in 2014 and founded my practice, Chaney Galuzian Howard LLC, a short time later. I'm a member of the Colorado Trial Lawyers Association, where I'm its co-chair of its new lawyers division and also serve on its executive and legislative committees. I'm also a member of the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar Association. And finally, I serve on the Colorado Bar Association's Board of Governors, the CBA Executive Committee, and the CBA Young Lawyers Division Executive Council. If you're interested in learning more about any of these wonderful organizations, please feel free to shoot me an email at kevin@cghlawfirm.com. This podcast is created and sponsored by the Colorado Bar Association's Young Lawyers Division. Our goal with this podcast is to bring you bi-weekly episodes with information that is both fun and informative for young lawyers. We have some awesome guests lined up, and we are just getting started. If you like our podcast, please, please, please leave us a review and tell your colleagues. I'd also like to give a special shout out to Rick at Lions Bridge Recording, who is making all of this possible through his awesome sound engineering skills. And with that, let's jump right in. I'm really happy to welcome Miranda Vieira to the podcast. Miranda, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Happy and healthy. I can't complain.
And hey, that's especially important during these times. And thanks for joining us via phone today. I know that social distancing is important during this COVID outbreak. So we really appreciate you taking the time to come on here and talk about marketing with young lawyers. Miranda is the owner of Denver Legal Marketing, which is a firm that kind of specializes in helping small and solo practices with their marketing efforts. And she's got some really, I think, going to be insightful and interesting things to say about young lawyers and, you know, how they can kind of get themselves out there. Before we jump into kind of the meat and potatoes of today's episode, why don't you tell our listeners who are mostly young lawyers and law students a little bit about yourself and kind of where you're from?
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Kevin. So where am I from? I'm actually from here, which is kind of a weird thing to say because I think a lot of people aren't from here right now, but my family's been here for a while and for a number of generations, actually. And I grew up here in Denver. I went to school at MSU Denver, and I haven't left.
Nice. Yeah, it is kind of rare these days to find a full native.
Yeah, I know. I haven't gone as far as to put a sticker on my car or something like that, but I am actually a Colorado native. I think it's dramatically cooler here now than it was when I was growing up, you know, and that's probably the new people that
right.
are making it cooler.
So. Well, that's great. So, you went to Metro State, you said, and obviously now you are in the, legal kind of marketing field. What drew you to, I guess, legal marketing, or were you kind of drawn to marketing in general, or kind of how did that happen?
Yeah, I think I've lived a lot of my life a little bit backwards. During my first semester of college, my stepdad, who is a local criminal defense attorney and family law attorney, he needed some help in his small law firm. And so he knew I could type, he knew I could write really well. And I was in college and I was cheap to hire. So next thing I know, I'm 18 years old working in law firm, you know, just part-time while I'm going to school, putting myself through school. So I actually, long story short, I've been in law firms for 22 years and I've worked in lots of different positions at lots of different law firms. I wish I could say that I was, you know, just a born marketer and this is all I've ever wanted to do was, you know, work with lawyers and law firms, but I kind of stumbled into it. I was at a well-known litigation boutique for about a decade. And in a small firm, you wear lots of hats. And I had a blended position there. So I handled marketing and recruiting. I handled diversity and inclusiveness and community building. And so I learned this at a really high level for 10 years at that firm, and then also kind of learned more than just selling legal services. There are lots of aspects that flow into legal services or marketing of legal services, including cause marketing and, you know, community building and things like that, I think kind of that people that haven't worked in law firms don't really understand. So just to give you 5 seconds of background, in my role in recruiting, I saw that a lot of the lawyers coming out of DU and CU were not going to the big law firms. And what ended up happening is I was safe because I was a non-lawyer, and I was usually the first person that they met at the law firm and usually one of the last people that told them bye at the end of their clerkship. But not everybody went to a big law firm after they graduated.
Right.
And not everybody had access to marketing and business development professionals, especially when they were in smaller shops. So with the law firm's permission and blessing, when these younger lawyers reached out to me, I always helped them. So I did this for about 5 years. I watched a hole in the market, and I saw that there wasn't a marketing firm that helped solo and small practitioners. And I waited for somebody, and when it didn't happen, I did it.
And so that obviously turned into your current marketing firm, Denver Legal Marketing. Before we kind of get into some specifics, why don't you tell us a little bit about that firm or your business and kind of what it does and what you guys focus on?
Yeah. So I'm pretty proud of what I've built. I think I might not have known my entire life that I was going to work in legal marketing, but I always have been drawn to new ideas and entrepreneurship. And my marketing firm is turning 5 on February 22nd of 2021. And it is the only one in Colorado with a specific focus on solo and small law firms. That is the majority of law firms in Colorado and also in the country. So there's no shortage of potential clients or leads and all of that jazz. But speaking of my clients are amazing. They have been on the cover of Colorado Super Lawyers. We have been in the DBJ and Chambers USA. Lots of awards, lots of really neat things. I think just making market space for small practices is one of my goals that I've been able to kind of, you know, whittle down over the last almost 5 years. But about Denver Legal Marketing, my offerings really are unique, and they are based on 22 years of being in Colorado law firms. I've worked with lots of different types of lawyers. I know lots of different types of practices, and I know how to sell legal services at a really high level. So I think it's a pleasure and also an honor to kind of be on this side of Colorado law as a legal vendor now. So I guess two more things and then that's it. Denver Legal Marketing is unique because we're the only one in Colorado that does what we do. But we're also unique because we've taught and created the first course on legal marketing at the undergraduate level this year at MSU Denver. And that is the first one in the country. So we are innovating the space of legal marketing and making sure that, you know, lawyers doing good work get the right type of promotion that they need to sell their legal services.
That is so cool. And there is such a need for it. You know, as a law firm owner, I get hit with marketing pitches every single day. I would say every single day I get at least one unsolicited email from somebody trying to sell me something. And, you know, there's some people that, you know, are general marketers that don't really understand what it takes in the legal profession. And we made some mistakes in kind of going with different people early on that just didn't really understand the difference between, you know, marketing a law firm and selling, let's say, oil changes or something like that. You know, that there is you can market a product, but that's sometimes different than marketing a person, and marketing a person is sometimes different than marketing a professional where there is an expectation. And so I think that's awesome that you're kind of helping train the next generation of legal marketers, because I really think there is such a need, especially like you said, in the small and solo world where, you know, there usually isn't an in-house marketing person like you would see at like a big firm where there might be a whole marketing team, you know, that's working on it. And so that's really cool that that you've kind of helped build that next generation.
Yeah, thank you. I think it, you know, I think a lot of this kind of draws back to the fact that I'm from here, you know, and I'm just in the trenches helping my community, the small business owners in Denver. You know, I'm a small business owner. There's a lot that that I can identify with. I think that, and I'm sure you know this, Kevin, that being a business owner is separate and apart from you being a lawyer. It's a totally different skill set. You know?
It is, yeah. Definitely got to wear different hats.
Yeah, they talk, but it's a different skill set. Legal skills are different than interpersonal skills, different than business skills, different than things like that. So, I'm really pleased to be able to be of service to solo and small practitioners.
And I think that a lot of our listeners, I think, are going to get a lot out of our chat today. So I kind of want to begin by talking a little bit about just marketing in general, and then we'll talk a little bit about marketing specifically for young lawyers that are a part of small or are on their own in a solo firm. And then at the end, we'll kind of talk a little bit about marketing in kind of a larger firm, you know, mid-sized or big law. So to kind of begin, and I know this is going to be a very open-ended question, but what does marketing really mean to you? Like when someone says, hey, I need marketing services or something like that, what is it from kind of like a big picture perspective?
Yeah. I think marketing in general is just kind of a broad term. It's an umbrella term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marketing for lawyers looks different for everyone, but included under that umbrella term would be advertising and PR and your networking, even credentialing. So, you know, developing your CV. So how many times are you interviewed? Have you written things? Have you presented at places? Different things like that that go on your CV. Also awards, you know, super lawyers, rising stars, all of that. Marketing also, you know, includes digital marketing. For lawyers and law firms, this looks like pay-per-click campaigns, SEO on your website, social media, your website just your website as a thing, online reviews, even legal directory sites. So marketing for lawyers is different than if you were marketing a CPA, because we have legal directory sites like FindLaw and SuperLawyers and Justia and all of these types of opportunities for online marketing. So big old loaded question, Kevin, but this looks different for everybody. It's just a broad term. I think it's everything that you do to promote yourself and sell your legal services.
And I guess to follow up on one big open-ended question with another big open-ended question, how so much of marketing, especially if you're a small or solo kind of lawyer, is building a personal brand. And, you know, can you describe a little bit about what that process is like, you know, and how you guys kind of go about, you know, helping law firms or, you know, solo practitioners really build a brand? Because you're not really a product, like, you know, something that's being marketed on TV, but you're really selling yourself, but you're also selling a service. And so it's really about, you know, what people identify, you know, you and your law firm is like. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys work with lawyers in building a brand for either themselves or for the firm?
So I think where I want to start with answering this is just to confirm so many times over that all of the research shows that people choose lawyers. They don't choose law firms. So, you know, usually people don't hire lawyers for fun unless, you know, you can capture the startup energy or, you know, you're working with families that are adopting or something like that. oftentimes people are hiring lawyers for something that is too sticky for them to personally handle. They don't have the skill set to handle it. It's embarrassing. Maybe their freedom's on the line, things like that. And so just kind of understanding how people consume legal services in general is pretty much step one in a personal brand. So that's also why your brand is so important. People choose lawyers to handle their legal problems. I think that a lot of the lawyers that I work with come to me with kind of already an idea of what their brand will be, especially if they're more seasoned lawyers. For younger lawyers, when I speak to younger lawyers, and I do that in larger law firms and also in the law schools and things like that, what I really like to drive home when it comes to younger lawyers is that a lot of them don't realize they're building their personal brand while they're in law school. And what do I mean by that? I really do think that you need to figure out what you want to do, what you want to be known for. A lot of this, and you start to develop in law school, what gives you energy, and all of this might change, but, some of these things will just kind of be a distinct part of your career, what kind of value you want to provide, what's your unique offering, if you're bilingual or if you, come from a family with an immigrant background and that's why you're going into immigration law, kind of all of these soul searching activities of what you want to be, as a lawyer, as a human, these types of things are really the nuts and bolts of your personal brand. There are, 22,000 active lawyers here in Colorado. And so a younger lawyer coming into our legal community, step one is to figure out why you're different. And usually it's because you're trying to be hired, by somebody else or something like that. But people have a lot of choices, not just in, who they're going to hire for legal services, but who are they going to hire for their law firm and all of that. And having a strong personal brand, knowing who you are, what you want to do, what value you bring to the table, kind of those unicorn aspects of you, are really what help you get through the door.
It's so interesting that you say that. It kind of sends me back several years to when I was in law school. And the dean at that time is our current attorney general, Phil Weiser. And he used to say something very similar. And, he used to talk about building a portfolio. And I think that was kind of his way of talking about building a personal brand, and that you, need to be doing things that can help people understand who you are. And that's true if you want to get a job or if you want to get clients. And so my partner, Tim, who obviously you also know, and I, once we decided as 1Ls that we wanted to open up our firm, we were like, no one's going to want to send us clients unless they feel like we are going to be good in the courtroom. And so while our other, colleagues and classmates were focused on, grades or whatever, which obviously if you're starting your own firm don't really matter that much, we focused on mock trial and moot court. And we put way more effort into it than almost, anybody else. And because of that, we were really successful and won a lot of, competitions and, we're able to compete on the national level against other big law schools. And we got a reputation as, these people are really good in the courtroom, really good trial lawyers. And I think that was so helpful. And we didn't even realize at the time that we were doing it. But in retrospect and like looking back, that was basically us building our brand. And thankfully, I think it's still a reputation that they have today. So I think that that's really just so important. And a lot of our listeners are going to be law students that, don't delay. Like you can start building your personal brand like right now, and that will pay dividends kind of down the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you and Tim have done a really good job of layering. And that's really part of, this is a little as an aside on personal brand, but there's a lot that goes into this. So, your personal brand is not just, what you stand for, what you put on your website, or your LinkedIn profile. Your personal brand is also your activities, like you're talking about. How are you credentialing your career? If I looked at your CV and I saw, nothing but corporate law, I would have a little bit of hesitation in hiring you for my, civil trial.
Right.
Making sure that everything's consistent and always talking. It's just one big circle. But actually having a personal brand allows you to, you can figure out easily who your target audience is, where you need to be networking, need to be marketing, kind of even, I think a lot of young lawyers almost develop career crushes on older, more seasoned attorneys where they're like, I want that career, or those awards or that freedom or that billable hour rate or whatever. But that didn't happen by chance. I think is one of the biggest kind of ways that I help younger lawyers unravel these things. These careers, you don't just wake up one day and become the best lawyer in the universe. And it's deliberate and it's just a layering, like you're saying, of small activities lead to bigger ones, lead to bigger, ways of being known.
And I guess to follow up a little bit on that, in your experience, do you find that kind of this marketing and building your personal brand really, I guess, snowballs and compounds? So one of the things that I hear from people when they're skeptical about, marketing or things like that is, well, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars and I'm not immediately going to get X amount of dollars in, return on investment in dividends. And, in our experience, at least, it really is more of a snowball effect that, you start off in the beginning and you're putting in all this work and you may not see kind of instantaneous results, but over time and as the years go by, as you add credentials and awards and, outward marketing and, some ads or whatever it is that it all kind of, snowballs and compounds, almost like, starting a retirement account early so that you can get that compounding interest that builds up over time. Has that been your experience in kind of working with lawyers and in the legal marketing world?
Yeah. So I think a few things. I think there are some lawyers that they're kind of anti-marketing, if that makes sense. They rely on word of mouth or reputation and kind of things like that, which I think has worked. In the past, it has worked historically, especially when the legal community looked different, when it was kind of, older men, around, at bars or after work or on the golf course, kind of sharing information, sharing contacts, resources, opportunities, those types of things. But I'm not sure, I'm not really sure that in 2020 that's how it goes. So I do think pretty much all attorneys need, that are in private practice, and I'll put a big asterisk on this because I want to circle back to it. Attorneys that are in private practice, want to be in private practice, need some aspect of personal branding and marketing just to rise above those thousands of other lawyers for case referrals, for promotion, for whatever your goals are. And I do get pushback because, my kind of rule of thumb on this is about 2-5% of your gross annual revenue for most practices. Different probably for you and Tim because you've got higher volume plaintiff personal injury stuff. But 2-5% of your gross annual revenue needs to be earmarked for marketing and business development. And what I find myself saying a lot is that it is really pushing back against what you're saying of, you don't wake up one day and just, you're the most popular lawyer ever. Marketing is really about tomorrow. It really does compound like you're saying. And your activity breeds other activity, if that makes sense.
It does.
So you might be fat and fed now, but marketing makes sure you're fat and fed for the next, 20 years. The asterisk that I want to circle back to one quick, because we've got a younger audience, is that I hear a lot of lawyers that are in government, so PDs, DAs, kind of people that aren't in private practice, saying that they don't need to do any marketing. And I would caution them against that. because you do. Because you do, you might not want to do that forever. So what I end up seeing is people coming out of the PD's office or the DA's office looking to start their own law firm, and they don't know how to sell their legal services. They might be the best trial attorney in the whole world, but they have no idea how people consume legal services because they've never had to get a client. So I do think that even if you are not in private practice, it is still smart to keep your saw sharp when it comes to marketing and promotion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And man, hearing you throw out that 2 to 5% number, I wish that was all I had to spend of my gross revenue in the personal injury space.
I know personal
injury is a little different just because it is such a heavy marketing thing. But I think you hit the nail.
The volume
kind of thing. And I do think you hit the nail on the head. And that was actually, you know, something I was talking about. I was teaching a CLE on small business or small firm marketing up at the law school to some law students. And there were a couple people in there that raised their hand and said, you know, well, we want to be PDs or DAs. And I'm like, you know, you should go ask the offices that you're working at what percentage of people that start there are still there after 10 years. Because there are a few that really love it and they work their way up the ranks and that is their career. But the overwhelming majority will not be a DA or a PD for life or a government attorney for life if it's something else. And if you aren't, you know, prepared, it's going to be so much harder. So I'm so grateful that you brought that up because I think that is something that, you know, everyone can benefit from, you know, learning the skills to build a personal brand. And whether you use it that in that first year or not, you know, or use it somewhere down the line, they are skills that, you know, will always be valuable. I'd like to turn to our attention to kind of marketing for young lawyers or law students that are either solos or small, working for small firms. And so, obviously, in 2020, social media is big, and this is, at least in terms of the length of the legal profession, a relatively new development. Can you talk a little bit about how social media has kind of changed the marketing world? And what are some things that some young, small, and solo lawyers can do to kind of get out there on social media?
Yeah. So I'm glad that we're talking about this. Because, you know, spanning a couple of decades in law, I have seen the way that legal services are sold change. And a lot of that is the advent of digital media and digital marketing in general, which includes social media. So, 10 to 15 years ago, there was pushback. You know, nobody really wanted to do it. They didn't really know what to do, if that makes sense, when it came to social media and attorney marketing. But I have seen in the last 5 years that it's changing. And lawyers and law firms are embracing kind of the power of social media marketing because it really does put a megaphone on your practice for pretty cheap, cheap advertising, I guess is what I'm trying to get at here.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, when it comes to social media and using it in your practice, this is going to be practice area dependent. So, if you have a consumer facing practice like you and Tim do, so, you know, Facebook marketing is smart because advertising is cheap. Same thing with Instagram. You know, and sometimes you can use similar posts on each site. If you attend a lot of events, which, you know, a couple months ago, we were able to attend events, but if you have that aspect of your practice, there are a lot of attorneys, for instance, Startup Week is, you know, going to be big. It'll be virtual, but it'll still be big. You know, these types of events, Twitter might be, you know, a place that you put your practice on social media. YouTube is something to think about. So, you know, about 300 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every single minute, right? And YouTube is the second biggest search engine right behind Google. Think about that. Bigger than Bing, bigger than Yahoo, bigger than YouTube, right?
Unreal.
So, right? And so what I see when I hear these things, I think of how we could use these to help promote legal the sale of legal services, help promote lawyers and law firms. So YouTube, especially for consumer-facing practices, might be a good option. Same thing, honestly, with corporate attorneys, B2B practices. If you have a YouTube channel, consider answering questions the same way that you would do on Google with like a frequently asked questions page or something like that, the SEO searchability. Do the same thing on YouTube. Answer those questions. What do I need to do to set up an LLC? What happens if my partnership dissolves? You know, things like that. And then finally, I think, you know, when it comes to marketing advice for, you know, solo lawyers or even just young lawyers in general, LinkedIn is probably my top choice for all of you. Probably everyone on you know, that's listening would be, you know, the number one, and that honestly probably should start in law school. 90% of the lawyers in the United States have LinkedIn profiles. And even if you represent consumers, even if, you know, that might not be the place where you source all of your clients, you should be on LinkedIn to connect with the other lawyers that you know, for other, for case referrals, for, you know, just professional referrals, that type of thing. LinkedIn is a place that you can develop your brand pretty easily. Lawyer to lawyer referrals are always the warmest leads. I mean, you can meet a, you know, 1,000 people, and the one that was referred to you by somebody they already know, like, and trust will be the one that calls you back, will be the one that pays your bills, will be, you know, just the warmer lead for your law firm. So, using LinkedIn to develop, you know, your brand and what you're the go-to in certain areas is just smart.
What kind of things can you do on LinkedIn? You know, and I certainly have a LinkedIn profile, but, you know, what other than just, I guess, you know, sending a friend, or I guess it's a connection request on LinkedIn and connecting with them, what are young lawyers, or what can young lawyers, you know, do on LinkedIn to, you know, interact, I guess, with other lawyers and potential referral sources? Is it, you know, sending them messages? Is it really about how your profile looks? Is it, you know, sharing blogs and articles and things? Or how do young lawyers use LinkedIn effectively, I guess, would be my question.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So this is another kind of involved question to answer. So lawyers will need to use LinkedIn. I would basically just reverse engineer their goals. So for instance, I'm just picking on your practice because it's the low hanging fruit here, Kevin.
That's fine.
I'm going to take you and Tim. So you and Tim have met a lot of people over the course of your career. You have people you've met in undergrad. You've probably worked at different places. You've probably got different clerkships, all of that type of thing. So you two could be using LinkedIn to connect with other lawyers and making sure that if they don't do criminal defense, that they send it your way. If they don't do plaintiff personal injury, they send it your way. What's also nice too is that if you both are not from Colorado, you're basically the Colorado lawyer that the people in your network know. And so even if you can put out there on LinkedIn, basically, if you need a Colorado lawyer for anything, let me know. I know a ton of people can refer you to someone amazing, and then you become a referral source for somebody else. So it's keeping you top of mind in lots of different ways. So certainly developing your connections would be part of it. Part of it is your profile, like you mentioned. So LinkedIn is basically one big Google search on you, and it's free searchability. So why would you not, you know?
Right.
And I could go on for that easily for an hour, so I'll just skip ahead. And then the next thing would just be activity. So what do you do with LinkedIn, right? So it's different than Facebook. You're not going to see any cat videos, things like that. This is really where, you know, you gotta be, this is your professional face. Here is, you know, what, picking on you guys again, what I would suggest for you all is that you develop a strategy. So about 80% of the posts that you decide to make, so say you want to post, I don't know, Monday through Friday, once a day, something like that. You're going to reach a really high percentage of your connections. I think about 60% of your LinkedIn connections. And the average person has about 500 connections. So you can kind of see how this is free promotion for your practice. So if you're posting once a week on LinkedIn, and all you're posting, about 80% of what you're posting confirms your personal brand. What can I refer to you? Who do you serve? What's your target audience? Oh, check them out. They're predicting trends. Oh, look at, they just, you know, wrote this article on, you know, plaintiff personal injury law, that type of thing. And then 20% can be sales. Tim and I are accepting clients in the following areas. Congratulations to all of us for being named, you know, Colorado Rising Stars in 2021, or, you know, whatever, that type of thing, or welcome our new staff member, you know, things like that.
Right.
So, so it's a blend of activities. The thought always is to take your online connection on LinkedIn into an offline connection. So back when you could meet for coffee, lunch, tea, all of that jazz, that would be my recommendation. Right now it would be, you know, can you hop on a call with them and introduce your practice in, you know, 10 minutes of what, how can you help them and how can you be of service? How can they be of service to you and, you know, the other way around?
That makes so much sense. And thank you for really kind of walking through that. And that generally was a question I honestly had. I'm consider myself pretty good at social media and I'm at, you know, average probably at marketing, but I really didn't, I think, grasp the full picture, especially something like LinkedIn and kind of what you can do with that. So thanks for kind of giving us that information. I want to, before we move on, to talk a little bit about, you know, bigger law firms and things like that. Another thing that is always, I think, important for young lawyers who don't necessarily have a string of verdicts or big deals or, you know, a bunch of impressive, you know, results that they can market is they really need to help inform clients that they are, you know, well-informed and kind of thought leaders in their practice areas. What are things that young lawyers can do to kind of get their name out there as, hey, I'm an expert in this, or I'm a thought leader in, you know, family law, or, you know, I'm really good at working with medical practices and setting up, you know, agreements between doctors and partnerships and stuff like that. How can young lawyers get their name out there?
I definitely love the idea of planting the seed on thought leadership in, you know, kind of the young lawyer community. Because I think, especially right now, kind of what's going on in our world, locally, nationally, globally, people need lawyers for lots of different reasons. And you all have a unique perspective and a unique offering in our community, and you're naturally seen as leaders. And what I like to see when it comes to young lawyers trying to credential themselves, I like to see them pushing out information on social media. So, you know, you could put out a long form post on LinkedIn. So say you want to be, just say you're a medical professional, example. So if that lawyer wants to work with medical professionals and handle all of their kind of contractual agreements, that lawyer should probably be on LinkedIn, posting thought leadership. What is the, you know, what are the top things that medical professionals need to look for or be aware of in their contracts in 2020? Or do you need to review your contract for a pandemic clause or some sort of, you know, are they up to date right now?
Right.
With what's going on in the world. What I like about, not to just keep circling back to LinkedIn, but it's really what I like about LinkedIn is that if you put a long form blog post on there, it goes out to not just the people that you already know, but if it's got the right keywords in it and things that are really searchable. So if you want to represent medical professionals in Colorado and it has that in the title, and that's basically the subject matter, people usually search for things that matter to them. So medical professionals are going to look for things that matter to medical professionals.
Right.
And it's searchable outside. You can connect with people you don't know through LinkedIn long form blog posting. So that's number one. So I think social media is a really easy way to stay top of mind and connected to people, you know, right now and kind of always. For young lawyers, I think you could be a thought leader closer to home. So on your own website or on your own blog or your law firm's website or blog, you can push out content. Same thing with a newsletter. Sometimes law firms have client alerts, things like that. You can reach out to legal industry publications like the DBA. You know, the DBA has the Docket, CBA has the Colorado Lawyer, the Women's Bar Association has the, they have the Confetti publication, I think. And then they also just started a blog. So you can look at some of the legal industry publications to push out your thought leadership. And you can also look at the non-legal industry publications. They're not, you know, criminal ones, but, you know, more of, you know, business publications. If you want to be a business lawyer, or, you know, if you're a family law attorney, maybe you should be hitting up 5280. They have, you know, a really wide kind of local audience. So you can reach out to them, and I would encourage you to. Don't be shy about this. Reach out to them, email them, and say, hey, if you need comments, if you need insight, if you need interpretation, if you need content, reach out to me in family law. This is all I do. This is where my heart and passion is. I'm happy to be of service to you. That's how these kind of relationships come out of the woodwork, if that makes sense.
It does. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, is useful for young lawyers, you know, speaking for myself, it can be sometimes scary, you know, trying to put yourself out there as a thought leader, because you look at your practice area and say, you know, well, there are, you know, 100 attorneys in Colorado that know more about, you know, personal injury law than I do because they've been practicing 40 years. And something that was useful for me, I was reading a book, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the founder of ClickFunnels. And he's written a couple books, but one of them is called Expert Secrets. And it's basically a book about how to market yourself as an expert. And one of his favorite things to say is, look, to be an expert, you don't have to be the most knowledgeable person in the world. Like, obviously that person is an expert. But in order to be an expert, you just need to be 1% more informed than your audience, right? As long as you have something to teach your audience. And so if you're a family law lawyer who's, you know, 3 years into practice, you may not know as much as the family law lawyer that's been practicing for 40 years, but you probably certainly know more about family law than lawyers that don't practice family law. And you absolutely know more about family law than clients who never went to law school. And so don't hesitate to kind of put yourself out there just because you're not the most knowledgeable person in the world on your topic. You know, you can still kind of jump in and you know, offer something that's going to be useful to readers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that kind of self-centering is pretty common in young lawyers, especially, of just not having the confidence to go out there and say, hey, I know enough to write this article. Nobody's asking you to, you know, be the thought leader or the expert, but can you confidently say, you know, is it accurate? Is it true? I mean, you know, those types of things. And chances are it is, if you know about it. And honestly, you know, these expert lawyers on cryptocurrency and blockchain technology and all of that, they started somewhere. I mean, you don't just wake up as an expert. So, you know, layering and credentialing yourself in whatever gives you energy, if it's family law, if it's plaintiff personal injury, if it's immigration law, all of these things is really the name of the game here.
I'd like to shift our gears a little bit because a lot of our listeners also work for, you know, medium or larger sized law firms. And that certainly is a different animal with different types of clients. We had federal magistrate Cato Cruz on the podcast a couple episodes ago. And one of the things that he was talking about before he became a federal judge, he worked at a large law firm. And he was talking about the importance of internal marketing, basically marketing yourself within the firm, and then also external marketing, you know, marketing yourself to the community or, as a whole. Can you talk a little bit about ways that a young lawyer, you know, it doesn't have to be at a giant firm either, but let's say you're a young lawyer working at a 25 lawyer law firm. How can you kind of, or what are some tips or tricks or things they can do to market themselves internally to the firm? You know, because obviously that's going to be important for, you know, whether partners want to work with you, whether you are on a partnership track, you know, the kind of cases that you're going to be getting. So what are some things that young lawyers can do to kind of get themselves known inside of a firm that they already kind of work for?
Yeah, that makes sense. And Magistrate Cruz is right. This is a really good point to make. I think a lot of when we're talking about marketing and promotion, let's get real, it's easier than it is for a solo practitioner or a small law firm just started, it's easier at a larger law firm because they have systems in place. They have things that you can, you know, join in, or they have teams that will help you do things. But, you know, when you're at a larger law firm or even a medium-sized law firm, what your business development team or marketing team can't do for you is again, develop your brand. So when you are in a larger law firm, you need to look at the more senior attorneys that you work with. Those, in terms of marketing, that's kind of your client. That's your target audience. Consider them your client is really basically the way I would ask you to look at it. So the same thing that business owners and people at smaller law firms do, you just need to figure out, you know, who your target client is. It's so-and-so lawyer or so-and-so practice group, right? You figure out who you want to work with, and then you figure out how you can be of service to them. And for younger lawyers, that looks different for everyone. So I would say make their lives easy. So don't be a pain. You know, just
right.
be easy to work with. Be pleasant. Be, you know, just be easy to work with, if that makes sense. That doesn't mean just always being agreeable or things like that. But I'm just saying there are aspects of branding that include likability. So,
right.
You know, figuring out who, you know, how you can help them and be of service. Is it through co-authoring articles with them? Maybe you can help them with some of their volunteer work or their boards that they're on. Sometimes a lot of them are on public boards, or they have institutional clients that you might be able to do small projects for that make them look good type of thing. You imagine them as your clients. So you want to make them look good. You want to make them happy. You want to keep them coming back. You want to stay on top of trends that matter to them. So maybe you can help them with their client alerts or their email newsletters or things like that. And I think that personal brand at big law firms, at least in my experience, they're developed a little bit differently initially. So you probably won't be known as a young attorney as the best litigator in your 400 person international law firm. Within the first
right.
5 years, that's just really hard.
Right, right.
It's pretty unbelievable standard. But you know, you can be known as young talent. You can be known having good work product. You can be known for having attention to detail, showing up on time. You know, making your firm look good through your community service, or you know, all of your pro bono awards, or all of those types of things. So, it looks a little. These are just different ways of basically coming at the same thing. So that is probably the biggest thing that I would put an underline under is your more senior attorneys. Those are your target clients,
right,
for the first 5 years. So go ahead.
I was saying that, and that really makes sense. I guess on the flip side, if you are a young lawyer working at a large firm, what are some things that you can kind of be doing for external marketing, you know, and obviously, yeah. And again, like, I think you hit the nail on the head, like you also have to be realistic. I mean, if your law firm, you know, has Google or Facebook or Walmart as a client, they are probably not going to be asking to hire the third year associate. You know, at
right.
least not to lead their legal team with, you know, millions or even billions of dollars at stake. But what are some things that people can kind of do early on to lay the groundwork so that, you know, 7, 10, 12, 15 years into practice that you will be in a position where, you know, you can be going after some of those larger, you know, corporate clients and things like that. What are some steps that you take, whether that is, you know, credentialing or, you know, trying to get in things like super lawyers or, you know, join outside organizations? What advice would you give to young lawyers who are trying to, I guess, play the long game in external marketing in kind of the big law realm?
Yeah. So I think you have to have your end goal in mind. And so some people want to make partner where they're at. Some people want to start their own firm eventually, or they, you know, want to go in-house. You know, I mean, it just depends on what their goal is. But I do think that young lawyers can be known to people kind of in their practice age cohort. So being on podcasts like Kevin's podcast, engaging with Kevin's podcast and things like this, you know, are really easy. And I'm not getting paid for Kevin's
we
podcast.
We appreciate the plugs though.
for the record. But you know, I think being, it is easier to really network with people that are in your own kind of stage, if that makes sense, because they're not going to be junior forever. And you can do that by, like you said, joining external organizations. With my big kind of asterisk on this one would be they should be focused on your end goal. So even though you might love horses, now might not be the time to join, you know, the Society of Horse Breeders or whatever. There's just only so much time in the day. So if you want to become the premier corporate attorney in Colorado, maybe you should be joining the Chambers of Commerce. Maybe you should be joining the young leadership aspects of the Chambers of Commerce. Maybe you should be joining the Colorado Lawyers Committee, or the Center for Legal Inclusiveness. I mean, there are lots of different organizations that have young, you know, young leadership, I guess, is probably the best way to put it, areas that you can join. And that's one way that you start to develop yourself in the legal community and also outside of the legal community. And then externally, you know, the next one would just be to get experience. So doing things pro bono, you know, I have worked with a lot of lawyers at large law firms that, you know, because of the way the law firm is structured, they probably aren't going to shadow a courtroom door for a long time.
Right.
But they want experience. They want real experience, because at the end of the day, you know, your book of business, your experience, kind of what you bring to the table, this is what makes you mobile, regardless of where you're at. So always kind of keeping that in mind. So even though it might be a lot, you might want to figure out how to join the Metro Volunteer Lawyers, any of the legal nights, things like that, because you get to network with the community and, you know, get trial experience, get, you know, paired up with somebody that's potentially more senior to kind of help you with whatever cases. And then you know, the next one would just be, you know, joining boards. I think especially if you're a corporate attorney, that's a big part of it. That's how you meet people that might hire you eventually.
Right.
So you know what I mean?
I agree
that the Googles and the Microsofts aren't going to probably so, you know, solicit legal help from people that are under 5 years out of law school. But you might be able to get a job, or I'm sorry, a position on the board of a startup. We have tons of startups here in Colorado. We have big tech bubbles, probably three of them throughout the state. And so, you know, being able to give them the insight and expertise of a corporate lawyer by being on their board, I mean, they already start to like and know you. And then when they actually need you, then they'll hire you. So that, I guess
that makes a lot of
my
sense.
Top tip.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you so much, Miranda, for coming on the show. We really appreciate you being here. I know that I learned a lot, and I'm sure that our law student and young lawyer listeners did as well. If there are people out there who are interested, and as you said, you know, you could talk about some of these topics for an hour just on LinkedIn. So there's a lot more to learn on the subject of legal marketing. For those who are interested in getting in contact with you, either with marketing questions or kind of looking for maybe a marketing mentor, or who are looking to retain your services, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Thanks, Kevin. So my email address, anybody can just email me directly. My email address is Miranda, MERANDA, at DenverLegalMarketing, all spelled out, .com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, guys.
Getting legal with it.